Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1070. Today is Friday, and I'm going to try to answer for you as clearly as I possibly can a question that I've been asked at least a dozen times about over the last 12 months. About once a month, someone will come up to me and say, "Tell me about the Book of Life. Is my name in the Book of Life? Am I going to be blotted out? Is there the Lamb's Book of Life? What is this Book of Life?" I usually get these questions around the days of Yom Kippur and the fall of the year when Jews are in a period of repentance from the time of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, to the 10 days of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, days of reflection, days of awe, when they are searching their hearts and their lives over the course of the previous year to see where they have failed the Lord, where they have hurt others, where they need to seek amends and restitution, all of those kinds of things, and so that their name will be written in the Book of Life on the Day of Atonement. Well, all of that is for the Jewish people tradition. This is not anywhere in the Word of God. And for my Jewish friends who listen to this, I'm just telling you, the Talmud, the Mishnah, and the Gemara, as wonderful as it is not on par with the Word of God, and you know that. And so whatever tradition has, it cannot contradict the Scriptures. And so I want to remind us of exactly how I interpret the Scriptures as far as the basics. Now, there's a lot more to it than what I'm going to tell you, but you've heard me say this. I'm a very simple-minded person, and the Word of God is not simple, but it is the revelation of God. Not the book of Revelation, but it is the book of revealing who God is, His plan for our lives, His will, His perfect will. The Word of God is the will of God. And we find the will of God as we understand properly what the Bible says. And so I have helped you along through the years to give you four or five things that will help you to understand. I want to just go over those because they're very important here. First of all, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have come to the place where you have passed from darkness to light, from death unto life. The Spirit of God lives in your life. The Apostle Paul, a Jewish rabbi, saved by the grace of God, said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ in his life, he does not belong to him. He just does not belong to him. In other words, you're not saved because God comes to live in your life and he gives you the ability to understand the Scriptures. If you have a mind and you have ability to read and you have ability to comprehend, the Spirit of God will help you to understand the Bible. He's not trying to obfuscate. He's not trying to hide his will. The purpose of the Bible is to reveal who God is, his nature, his being, who he is, how he acts, what he's done, what he will do. All of those things are in the Scriptures. So God's not trying to hide himself from us. He's trying to reveal himself to us. And as we seek his face, we can. So it's very important that we understand that the Bible can be understood. And so that's the purpose of giving it by the Holy Spirit. And then I say, if you read a text, whether it be the book of Genesis or John 6, whatever the case is, wherever you are, that if the plain sense of the text, if the plain sense makes sense, let that be the sense, lest it all become nonsense. In other words, if it is historical narrative, interpret it as historical narrative. If it is analogy, if it is illustrative, the context will tell you that. And so if the plain sense makes sense, let that be the sense, lest it all becomes nonsense. But that's not the only criteria for understanding the Word of God. The second thing I teach you about that for the person who wants to understand the Bible is you must interpret all passages within context. Con is the word with. It's the Latin word with. Text is the passage itself. What's with the passage? And it's not just taking a verse and making it say whatever you want to. Any text without context, taking the verses with it, and the historical, geographical setting, the cultural, contextual setting, then you're headed for trouble, because any text that is without context interpreted will eventually just be used as a proof text to prove something. And so always interpret a passage within its context. And so that's very important in understanding what it means for your name to be in the book of life. Well, I want to give you some passages in the book of Exodus. It is usually talked about, 32:33. It says, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book," out of the book of life. This is a reference to the book of the living, the book of the living. It's not the book that is the criteria for escaping judgment in Revelation chapter 20. It's just simply the book of the living. There's no contradicting what the rest of the Bible says. Now, often I have quoted to me Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, I'm just going to turn there because it's so important what it says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Remember, this is Jesus writing to the churches in what was Asia Minor then. John was writing on behalf of Jesus in Revelation 2 and 3. It's Jesus' words to the churches. And the church at Sardis, Jesus said, "He who overcomes," by the way, all of these phrases, "he who overcomes," is talking about those who are in Christ Jesus, those who overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is consistent all the way through the scriptures. And specifically in the New Testament, it teaches that if you are in Christ, you are in him, and that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it under the day of Christ. In other words, everyone that God starts with, he's going to finish with. But there are some who look like they are followers of Jesus, but they're not. They act like they're followers of Jesus, but just for a time. And then they turn away as soon as persecution comes, as soon as something doesn't go their way. This is very important, because just because someone says, "I'm a follower of Jesus," doesn't mean they are. And you say, "Well, I just know they are." No, you don't know anything. Only God can see the heart. And somebody can fool you and they can fool me, but they cannot fool God. God knows who has truly committed their life to him, who has received the grace of God, repented of their sin. And that doesn't mean they don't ever sin again. That doesn't mean that they're sinless, but it should mean they sin less. He says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments." This has symbolic significance simply because the Jews wore white garments. In the ancient days, white garments were usually associated with a festival or a festive occasion like a wedding or so forth. And in Revelation 19, those of us who return with Jesus to earth that have died or been raptured away, the Bible says we will come and all of us will have on white garments, white robes, representing the purity and righteousness of Jesus. But we're going to be at the wedding feast and the wedding supper of the Lamb, of the Lord Jesus. So he says, "He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments." That is a reference to those who are followers of Jesus and who have been clothed in his righteousness. I'm just going over a lot of things here very quickly. I can certainly back up everything I'm telling you from the scriptures. I'm just trying to get to the point. "And I will not blot out his name in the book of life." Now, this is a promise of Jesus. He said, "I will not blot you out if you're clothed in righteousness, if you're clothed in white, if you're clothed in the garments that I give you. I will not blot out your book, but I will confess you before my Father and before his angels." This is not a threat. This is not that if we do something, we mess up, God's going to take our name out and he's not going to blot us out. Well, some would say, well, that implies he will blot out some. No, it doesn't. It just is a promise to those who are in the book of life, that are walking with God. You can cross-reference this with Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. There's all kinds of scriptures that talk about this, that saved people are in this book of life. This is not the book of the living, the book of works that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and following. That's not the book here. There's the book of life, the book of works, the book of the living, if you might say it. And then there are those who are in the book, that is, their names are written, and they are written by God himself. And there's a lot of imagery here that I don't have time to go into, but I'm just wanting you to understand that Revelation chapter 3, verse 5 is not a threat of blotting out your name. It's a promise that he will not blot our name out. Why? Because he's the one that wrote it there. And so he's assured of who's there before he ever writes it. The other passage that gives people so much trouble, besides this idea of concept of being blotted out, and I won't blot out your name, is in the last chapter of the Bible, where he says in verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. He says, I am the one who was before David. I'm after David. I'm of his lineage. He's of my lineage. I am the bride and the morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, whoever wants to, whoever wills, let him take freely of the water of life. You see, people say, well, you can't just be saved anytime you want to. Well, yes, you can be saved anytime you want to. But that's not the issue. The issue is that you will not always want to. You see, I know people that have said to me, you know, I once thought I wanted to be saved, but I don't want to be saved anymore. Usually those people are very hard people. God's dealt with them over and over again. Now, that doesn't mean that they may not at some point have the mercy and grace of God bestowed to them that they would be saved. But many of those people have died in that condition. You see, I've lived a while, and I've lived to see people who say, I don't want to have anything to do with God, and they die, and they didn't want to have anything to do with God on their deathbed. You say, how do you know? Because I was with them. You see, it's very important for us to understand that God is true, and he always speaks truth. And let every man be a liar. God is true, and his words are true. God said that if you want to be saved, you can be. If you want to be saved, you can be. But the fact is, you may not always want to be. That verse in 17th verse of chapter 22 is just hard for anybody to get around that. You have to really do some verbal gymnastics to say anything other than what I just said. And so he said, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. That's pretty plain. He said, and if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city. In other words, he's not going to go to heaven. Now, let me just stop right there and say, you always interpret an unclear verse with a clear one. What is an unclear verse? An unclear verse is a verse that grammatically, syntactically, linguistically can be interpreted more than one way. And a clear verse is one that can only be interpreted one way. And I've given many illustrations of this over the years in these podcasts. And as people get really confused about this, this verse can be taken more than one way. That's why there's confusion. But the Bible teaches that if a man becomes a follower of Jesus and he passes from death unto life, that man that God called unto himself, that man that he justified, he is going to glorify him. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to drag them kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God. It means that they want to come into the kingdom of God. And as a father, God is not a grandfather, he's a father. If that person continually disobeys, then God may take him home. That doesn't mean that he's not saved. That means that his life may be shortened. That means that God is going to discipline him. God's going to bring him about, and there is a sin unto death. That's talking about a believer in 1 John. 1 John's written to believers, not to unbelievers. The Gospel of John is written to unbelievers, but 1 John is written to believers. How do I know that? Because 1 John chapter 5 tells us that. I didn't just come up with these things. They're right there in the book. And so what I'm saying to you is, you don't take an unclear verse, one that can be interpreted more than one way, and obviously this one can be, and interpret clear verses that teach that once a person comes to Jesus and God comes to live within them and they are part of the body of Christ, Jesus doesn't become an amputee and cut off part of his body once that person is grafted into the body. Once that person is placed into, baptized into, immersed into the body, then that's forever. You say, well, you're talking about once saved, always saved. That's not the language of the Bible. The language of the Bible is that if a person is saved, they will persevere unto the end. That is, God will see to it that what he started, he'll finish. And that which we've committed unto him, our lives, he will keep until the day of Jesus himself, when Jesus comes again. Now, those are plain teachings of the Bible. You can't do anything with those. And I could give you many more. I'm just trying to tell you, a verse that is unclear is not going to overturn a verse that's clear, but it's vice versa. You always interpret an unclear verse, one that can be interpreted more than one way, and this one can, by a clear one. What is the clear one? That those whose names are in the book of life, Jesus said, I will not blot you out. Period. You don't have to be written in there every 6 months, every year. You're written in the book of life once, and your name will never be blotted out. But when we talk about the book of the living, there's obviously more than one book. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. There's more than one book. There was those who were in a book of the living, and they had their works were being monitored. Their works were being written down, everything they've ever done, good or bad. But then there was another book, which is the book of life, and that's the book that we're dealing with here. Somebody who takes away from the Word of God, and they're doing that as a way of life, not that somebody says, you know, well, God says this, and you misquote something. I'm talking about deliberately leaving out portions of Scripture that are inconvenient for you, and that is a way of life with you. That's not the way that the child of God lives according to the Bible. All I'm wanting to get across to you is once you're in the book of life and your name is written there, Jesus said to his disciples that he sent out his disciples. When they came back, they said, oh, Lord, this is wonderful. I mean, the demons are subject to our names. We can heal people. Everything is this, that, and other. He said, rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Well, did they write them there? No, God did. And what God writes down, he's never going to take out of that book of life. But there is a book of the living, obviously, that our works are being recorded. God knows everything we're doing, everything we think. All of that is in a book, or books, plural. And the books were open. And then there's the book of life, Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and following. I hope that helps. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org. Then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.